You are listening to a message from All People's Church in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
It's about the cross, Christ.
I've never found another one that took my place.
Don't manage with fear. Realize it's a threat.
At All People's Church, we're all about loving God, strengthening families, and developing leaders. If you would like to hear more sermons or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email to info@allpeopleschurch.ca.
How many are ready for the Word of God this morning? You know, I started this Why series, and even though I started it, I've yet to preach a message on the Why series because I haven't been here. So maybe I should have titled it, Pastor, Why Aren't You Here When You Create a Sermon Series? But this is our series, and I know that Pastor Moses began on the very first week talking about why are we here? What's our purpose? What's our destiny? But today, you know, I want to ask the question that is seldomly asked. And here's the question I want to ask. Why is God here? Why is God here? We hear a lot about why am I here. This morning, I really want to answer the question, why is God here? Why did God show up? Why does God make a way? Why does God perform miracles? And, you know, my friends, I was even thinking, when you go back to the story of the garden and how Adam and Eve messed up the whole plan, you know, God could have just said, you know what? I've made a lot of other planets. I'm just going to move on to the next planet and I'll create a new species and I'll just leave those two humans over there. Eventually, they're going to kill themselves off anyway. And so let me just forget that planet and let's start on a new planet. Let's start a new plan and start all over. Because what I started, they messed up. And yet we know that God is here. That God had a plan before even the foundation of the world. And so I want to ask this question today, and I want to answer this question. I want to give you a little bit of background before we go into the scripture about why God is here. And my friends, it is so important to understand the presence of God and why God is here, because the moment you remove God, everything changes in a negative way. Nothing makes sense any longer. The moment we remove the Lord, the moment we remove the eternal, all of a sudden things don't make sense. We don't understand why we're here. But unless God is here, there's actually no reason for us to be here because He created us. Amen. But the whole idea today is, well, we can live without you. And we don't need you, and you, we know better than you because, you know, we don't even trust you, and we don't even like you. And by the way, we don't even believe that you even exist and that you even created us. And some would rather believe that they were created from monkeys and gorillas and that they evolved somehow. But I've been noticing something, my friends, in our society in particular is that there is an obsession with death. There is an obsession with death, from abortion, which is death and which is murder. And by the way, do you know in Canada, we have the most liberal laws in the entire world when it comes to abortion. Literally right up to the time that baby is just about to be born, you can abort that baby. And now they're talking about post-birth abortion. In other words, the baby comes out and you don't like it, you don't want it, you don't think it's the right sex, then we can just abort it. But now, not only are we creating death at the very beginning in abortion before you're even born, but now there's this incredible movement of euthanasia that's happening at the end of your life. And some of the craziest philosophies that are happening, you know, right now in Belgium and Holland, listen to this, church, listen to this. They are saying to people, so euthanasia is that you can take your own life. See, at abortion, somebody makes a decision to take your life, but in euthanasia, you can take your own life. And what they're saying to people is, you know, you turn 70 years old and maybe you're in good health. Why wait till you get sick? Why don't you just take your own life? You hear this logic? You hear this philosophy that is going on? And by the way, do you know that when Canada's laws of euthanasia, when it became legal, do you know that in the first year, Canada had three times the amount of euthanasia that Belgium and Holland did when they first made it legal. But you see, we don't hear a lot about this. And so I began to look at this. And of course, in the middle of it, so you got abortion, you got euthanasia, but then you got suicide. Suicide, as I prophesied to the nation, is on the rise. And I was talking to somebody yesterday in the Elevate conference about the whole mental health issue and what's happening in our city. This individual is a doctor and psychiatry, and he was telling me, Pastor, you have no idea what's happening in the city of Brampton, but they don't want to tell the people what's going on because they don't want to alarm them. In the area even of suicides and young people that are taking their lives. But my friends, listen to this. See, when you remove God, the giver of life, then death makes sense. Hello? See, when you remove God, then you remove eternity, and you remove, you know, the fact that there is a life after this life and that you're created to live forever, then whether we're in pain or we're in lonely or what have you, then all of a sudden, my friends, see, death makes sense. They are now, our government now is talking about bringing euthanasia to young people under the age of 18 and also to the mentally ill. So think about it. You're 17 and your girlfriend leaves you, and at 17 your girlfriend leaves you, you think it's the end of the world and you think you should kill yourself. Well, they want to give you the ability to do so. And you say, Pastor, what's it all about? Let me just help you. You know, all this, they put these nice words on it like death with dignity. Can I just help you? All this is about money. It's about money. At the end of the day, the money they can save by not keeping people alive and taking care of them. And by the way, even those that are born with Down syndrome, where they say, well, you know what? You're not going to live a good life anyway. And so, you know, we should have the opinion or the right to end your life. See, right now with euthanasia, let me just help you. Right now with euthanasia, you make the decision. But I'm telling you, the way these things start, they don't end the same way. Because they start with you, but it's going to end with the government saying, we think you're a drain on the system, and you're going to cost too much to keep you alive. Therefore, now we're going to make the decision when we take your life. And my friends, honestly, you know, I don't have the answer to why certain people that are healthy die, and why those that maybe are not healthy live a long time and live in horrible condition. I don't know. I really don't have the answer to that. I'm not God. But here's what I do know, is that God is the giver of life. And so if God is the giver of life, then we shouldn't be the takers of that life that's been given to us. Come on, do I have any help in this room this morning? And so here's what the scripture says in Proverbs 8:36. The very last part of it is this. All those who hate death, listen. All those who love death hate me. All those who hate, my God. Okay, let me just rephrase it. All those who hate, something is missing here in my notes. All those who hate me love death. All those who hate me love death. Therefore, those that love death hate God, because God is the giver of life. And so you say, Pastor, what is the motive behind what's going on? Well, here's the motive of what's going on is two words that I want you to know. The first word is the word autonomy. That what we are hearing today is, it's my life. I'm autonomous. I can do what I want. I can make any decision. I can go where I want. I can live where I want. I am entitled to do what I want, when I want, how I want it. And so now they're bringing this whole concept of autonomous into the area of the taking and the giving of life. You see, it's my life. You hear people say that all the time. It's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want, and I'll take it when I want, whether it's through suicide or whether it's through euthanasia. See, when you remove the author of life, then that makes sense. See, when you remove the author of life, then you become God. And this is the whole New Age philosophy, is that you are a God. And so you are empowered over your own life. But the reality is, you didn't give yourself life. Therefore, you cannot take your own life. Because the taking of life is murder.
Abortion is murder. Suicide is murder. Euthanasia is murder. It is killing the life that God has given us. But you see, today they're taught autonomy. You are autonomous. But my friends, when we come into the kingdom, we are no longer autonomous. We are dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you remove the eternal, you remove the perspective of God, then these things make sense. And then you come along and you say to people, well, you're God. But some of the questions that people are asking, some of the questions, if I commit suicide, will I go to heaven? Where am I going to end up? And by the way, in case you think it's just the mentally ill, and in case you just think it's people that, you know, young people that have problems that are committing suicide, I know, not directly know people, but I know people, if you will, like I'm one step removed, of leaders, of pastors. I'm talking in the last few weeks of heads of networks that have committed suicide, taken their lives, and they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Other questions that people are asking is if I'm in pain, can I commit euthanasia? If, Pastor, if I am suffering, if I am in agony, why can't I just take my life? Why can't I just say to end it? Will I go to heaven then? Will God understand? You see, my friends, I want you to say something to us today. We are in the body of Christ today. You know, we make it so easy to serve God. There's no accountability. There's no sacrifice. It's like receiving Jesus, even at the altar. It's kind of like we say to people, you know, come and sign up for a FedEx package. You know, you get a package, just come up here, sign up for the FedEx package, and you will be okay. We make it so easy, so accessible, and not understanding the true purposes, and not understanding why is God here. See, when I understand that God is here, and I understand that God created me, and he is the author, the Bible says he is the author, but not only author, notice, he's the author, he's the starter, and he's the finisher of my faith. Can I say it this way, my friends? He's the starter of my life, he's the finisher of my life. And the reality is this, you won't be here one day more and one day less than God says you will. The Bible says in Romans that before your mommy and your daddy ever had a hamburger together, before they ever went on a first date, he says, I knew you by name. I called you by name. I knew you before your mother's womb. So he knows our beginning and he knows our end. How about this one? Can I abort a baby for the cause of Christ? So you don't understand what that means. Let me help you. Sometimes people do things they shouldn't do, and then they go, oh, the ministry. Oh, this is going to look bad on the Lord, you know, because we had a relationship we shouldn't have had. And so let's get rid of the evidence. Let's get rid of the evidence. I had a lady come in. Doesn't come to our church. I had a lady come in a few years ago, and she had an affair, and she got pregnant, and the reason she came in to see me was because she wanted to abort the baby, and she wanted to know, is this the will of God? Would God be upset? Would God be okay? Because, you know, it was going to cause problems in her marriage and problems everywhere else. And, you know, we met a few times, and I shared the scriptures with her and what have you. And then she came back to me. She said, Pastor, I've made a decision. I'm going to abort the baby, and I have peace with God. I don't know what peace you have with which God. You might have relief because you've hid the evidence. And by the way, my friends, I'm not promoting that we should go out and have affairs and illicit sex and whatever else. But here's what you need to know. You know, even in the Bible, the Bible says, King David said, in sin and iniquity was I conceived. Many believe that David, the greatest king that Israel ever knew, was actually the product of a love affair. Makes you wonder now why David wasn't actually invited when the brothers showed up. You know, we kind of think, oh, he was just a kid. He was out there. No. I think there were political forces in that family where you know, maybe Jesse's wife said, you keep that boy as far away from this family as I don't want to see that boy because he reminds me of what you did, Jesse. Gives you a whole different perspective of what David wasn't invited to the anointing. But of all the people, listen, it wasn't David's fault. It wasn't the child's fault. But you see, when you remove God, nothing makes sense. Nothing about life, nothing about order, nothing about purpose makes says. And so here's where I want us to go. I want us to stand. And I want to read a couple of scriptures. Michael, thank you for your grace. I want us to turn to the book of Daniel. It's going to be on the board here. I want to create a scene for you. Wednesday night, I talked about a little bit about the court scenes of God. And then I want to take you into Psalm 139. Because I want you to understand that not only is God here, but why is God here? And understanding that your life matters to God. This is why you are here. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. Listen, my friends, you may be here. You may be the product of a single mom. You may be the product of having been born outside of marriage and not in all the good ways. But my friends, I want you to know something. God wants to break that guilt. God wants to break that shame off you. That's not your fault. And listen, God can give you an incredible purpose. Even James Robinson, do you know this? One of the greatest ministers that's on television today. Do you know that he was a product of being born outside of marriage? God can use anybody. I want you to see here in Daniel chapter 7, it says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's God. His garment was white as snow, and his hair, the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. And it says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. By the way, if you go into Hebrews, this is the great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews talks about. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. You think nobody's going to be in heaven? I have news for you. Heaven is a crowded place. Now watch this. The court was seated and the books were opened. The court was seated and the books, not the book. This is not the Bible. The books were opened. What books? Well, I want you to turn to Psalm 139 because I'm going to tell you the books that were opened before the Almighty, that were opened before the thousands of witnesses. I want you to catch that. God is seated. There are witnesses there. Thousands, thousands, tens and tens of thousands. And here, let's go to Psalm 139, verse 13. Here is, in the New Living Translation, the psalmist speaking about God. He says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, we talk about this in Ephesians, your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Some scriptures say darkness in the womb as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Isn't it amazing? You know, we've had so many people that are either having babies or getting babies, and now these ultrasounds have become so sophisticated that you can begin to see the details of the baby with every visit that they go. But I want you to know that way before they created any kind of ultra machine, God had the greatest ultra machine, his own spirit. He says, you watched me as I was being formed. Verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Man, his eyes are on you, my friends, even before you were born, even before you came out of that womb. Now watch this. Every day of my life, everybody say every day. Every day. Notice, was recorded in the book. These are the books. My friends, God wrote a book about you. Every day of my life is recorded in God's book. You see, when we don't have the perspective of God and faith, then there is no book. I become the writer of my own book. But when we come into the kingdom, we understand we're not the author of our own book. God the Father is the author of our own book. Amen? So he says, oh, you should have given God praise for that. Come on. Come on, 9 a.m., I want you to know you have a bad reputation for being too quiet. The 11:15 people look down on you. I just want you to know that. Notice what he says, my every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out. It was laid out before a single day I'll pass. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. You may be seated with the blessing of God's word. This morning, I really want to talk to you about why God is here and the fact that God wrote a book about you, that every day of your life, the activities of your life are recorded in this book. Now, usually people want to go to the extremes. And so, you know, they go, well, Pastor, you know, does that mean that God wrote in the book what I had for breakfast this morning? So let's not be ridiculous about that. You know, what you had for breakfast, unless it was really, really bad for you, doesn't really matter in the economy of God. And so I want to break down a couple of myths, you see, because as soon as you read this scripture, the first thing people say is, well, you know what, Pastor? I don't have to make any decisions. I don't have to live my life. You see, God, you know, wrote it all down. And so whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Que sera, sera. Marcel, that's French. Que sera, sera. Whatever's going to happen. I don't need to take any responsibility. God knows it all. But the scripture doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that because, my friends, listen, life is about discovering what is in the book. That's why the Bible says the steps of a righteous man, the steps of a righteous woman are ordered of the Lord. And then it says this, that the Lord directs our steps, that the Lord directs our paths. So that, my friends, even when I deviate from the book that God has written, God has the power and the ability and the grace to get me back on track. You say, well, Pastor, what about when I sin? What about when I make the wrong decision? What about when I don't follow what's in the book? Oh, see, here's what you need to know, because you have the ability to ignore the book. Because the only thing that God is going to write in the book is according to Romans 8:28. God's only going to write the good things about your book and about your life and about your activities. You say, oh, Pastor, no. Listen, bro, listen. Listen, a lot of bad things have happened to me in my life. Yes, because those things are also in the book. When you look at the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, do you know that Jacob is in the book and his brothers are in the book? But my friends, I want you to know that Potiphar is in the book. Mrs. Potiphar is in the book. The prison is in the book. The pit is in the book. But even though it looks like it's bad, this is where Romans 8:28 comes in and says, all things are working together for my good. Amen? Why? Because I love God. So it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter the bad things, if you will, that are happening in the book. If God wrote it in the book, it's actually going to happen in my life. Anybody with me this morning? God wrote a book about you. There is purpose to your life, but watch this. There is purpose to God being in your life, which says to me this, if God wrote a book, then God must be here. And at the end of the sermon here, I'm going to tell you why God is here. Why is God here? Pastor, why is God here? But let me make a few observations about this scripture. Number one, and I want to end this point with an exclamation mark, God knows. God knows everything, the things in the dark, the things I don't know. Listen, none of you, unless you're some kind of extraordinary human being, I don't think any of you remember your time in the womb. Do you? I don't. I have some pretty early, you know, memories of my life, but I can't say to you that I remember the womb. I can't tell you that I remember the hospital. And you know, and in those days, when you were born, unlike today, where you can bring in a whole video camera and crew, you know what I'm talking about? In those days, fathers weren't even allowed in the delivery room. As a matter of fact, my father went home. I didn't come out saying, "Hey, where's Dad? Mom, where's Dad? Where's the guy that you know?" I don't remember it, but watch this. God remembers it. God knows it. And as a matter of fact, my friends, listen to the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father says, listen, your life doesn't begin at birth. It doesn't even begin at conception. I knew you before conception. I knew you before the womb. I called you by name. You want to talk about identity? You want to talk about identity? God says, I knew what they were going to call you even before you were born. Why, Pastor? It's in the book. It's in the book. And God has written a great book, my friends, about you. But you know, we run around and we're more concerned about other people's book. We look at other people's book and we go, oh, Angelo, I wish I had your book. I wish I had your voice and your ministry. And Pastor Amber, I wish I could sing like you. I wish that was in my book. I wish I had hair like you know, there were some crazy people with hair yesterday. I wish I had hair like that person. I wish that was in the book. I wish I had a husband, you know, like that husband. I wish I had a wife like that wife. I wish I had a house like that house. And I wish I had a ministry like that. And I wish I worked over there. And I wish. And we're looking for everybody's book. But you don't even know what's written in your book. Great things are in your book. Why? Because God is here. Stop wanting other people's book. And find out what are in the pages of your book. You know, my friends, I was sharing a little bit on Wednesday night. If you'd have told me in my life that the day would come, a day in April of 2018 where you will preach, number one, that I would preach. Number two, that I would preach in a Methodist church built in 1901. That if I told you some of the history of this place, your hair would literally curl on your head. And I don't mean in a positive way, in a negative way. And if you were to tell me that when you preach in this highly religious church with all its traditions, that people are going to be healed, that people are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that people are going to be touched, and you're going to prophesy, and you're going to move in an apostolic authority, I would have said you're crazy. But here's what God said. It's in the book. It's in the pages of your book. I had a flashback yesterday. While we were worshiping, I thought about Brother Vito. I don't know if you know this, but Brother Vito is the elder of the dance. See the reason, listen to me. The reason that we enjoy the worship and the freedom and the dancing and the jumping around is actually because of Brother Vito. This is the honesty, Angelo. This is history. You didn't know this. You see, we were just, you know, a stiff people. I don't know if we were stiff neck, but we were stiff. There was no movement here. There was no freedom in worship. And you know, because here's what the pastor in those days taught. He said, listen, this is the honest to God truth. Pauline, where's Pauline? Pauline can verify this for me. That the pastor would say, listen, I know a story, and they started dancing, and they started dancing in the presence of the Lord, and before you knew it, affairs were happening in the church. Is this true? This is a true story. And so he said, we're not going to have any here. Wow. So you shut it down because people are like, oh my God, I don't want to move because the moment I move, I'm going to be in bed with somebody. Of course, they go to weddings and they're not in bed with, but this was the, so people go, okay, oh, danger, fear, you know. And so all of a sudden, I took a whole team and I took Brother Vito to a conference with us out. Remember this Brother Vito out in Durham? We went there, a tremendous speaker, Larry Randolph was speaking, and all of a sudden, of all the people, listen, if you want to go to the definition of conservative, and I don't mean in a political way, if you read the definition of conservative, Brother Vito's name is there. It's right in Webster's dictionary, you can find it. I don't know a person that is more conservative. I mean, even when Brother Vito's excited, you go, are you excited? He goes, I'm excited, Pastor, can you tell? You know? And so it's in there, but, right? And so Brother Vito comes back, he gets this revelation, and then he gets this prophetic word from actually Sister Nancy about some running shoes. You remember this? Remember that? And so some people, I think it was Joel. Joel goes out, and he gets Brother Vito some shoes, these running shoes. And the Lord spoke to Brother Vito of all the people and said, now, Brother Vito, I want to do something with this revelation about freedom and dance in the church. And here's what I want you to do. Every Sunday, I got to come down. We're not on camera right now. So every Sunday, I want you to go down in the middle of the church. And Brother Vito, 9 a.m. or worship would start. And now listen, I have 1,000 moves. Brother Vito, I think, has one. All right? I love Brother Vito. Listen. He's not going to kill me. So anyway, he would come up here, and this is what he would do. You remember those days? So then, now watch this. Marcel, being the good wife, didn't come right away.
David Price and Marguerite. My God. Great to have you in the house.
It's hard to see in the dark. So anyway, week after week,
then Marcel, is this the truth? Then Marcel was like, oh my God, I can't leave him up there by himself. So she comes up. I think Marcel has three moves. So here they were together holding hands. And I'm like, what is going on with my precious brother? Week after week, week after week. But watch this, there came a Sunday when something broke in the spirit and something broke in the people and a religious spirit was broken in the house. And you say, Pastor, you know, why Brother Vito? Because it's in the book. It's in his book. It's in the pages of his book that on such and such a day, I will use you of all the people in the church. You see, if somebody had done it with that is more liberal, that is more free, like somebody like Brother Angelo, people go like, oh yeah, well that's his personality, that's just him. But God took someone completely out of his comfort zone to make him look foolish, but to bring breakthrough, because it's in the book. It's in the book. It's in your book. It's in your book. The Methodist Church was in the pages of my book. I don't know everything that's in my book. So I come along and I walk along with the Lord and I do my thing and I take my steps and I make the best decisions that I possibly can. And I begin to follow the leading of the Spirit when it seems right, when it doesn't seem right. Sometimes it seems like nonsense. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about being stupid for the sake of being stupid. We have enough fruits and flakes and nuts in the church as it is. I'm not talking about that. As a matter of fact, you know what? One of the things that I went down there to teach in the United States, my friends, listen, even in our circles, do you know that Pentecostal people are moving away from the gifts of the Spirit because they are so offended? Because they're like, this is just craziness. But I want to tell you something this morning. The Holy Spirit is not the crazy one of the Trinity. When I look at the book of Genesis and the Holy Spirit shows up, the Bible says this, he brought order to the chaos. Don't be ridiculous and blame the Holy Ghost. Now see, you say, well, Pastor, some things look ridiculous. Yeah, Brother Vito looked ridiculous for a long time. I don't know what he thought. I don't know what he thought. Maybe he thought, this is ridiculous. By the way, I don't even know if you have those shoes, but maybe he's like, this is ridiculous because it didn't happen right away. But because he was faithful, because he was consistent, because he heard from God. Listen, my friends, if you hear from God, then fruit is always going to follow. When you step out and risk, others will be liberated. Others will be set free. Others will come to the freedom that the Lord has given them. Now, am I just talking about, well, we're just going to jump around. We're going to hop. No, I'm not talking about that. But there has to be a freedom and there has to be a liberty in the Holy Ghost. But my friends, there has to be a following of what's in the book. Pastor, it's just not my personality. Oh. Find me the verse for personality. Huh? Well, I'm conservative. Well, find me the verse for that. Worship team, you can come out. We were worshiping the Lord in that Methodist church. And I could see the religious spirits. So we had four groups, four bodies that were there. My friends, listen to me. I could sense the religious spirits. One lady gave a testimony how God miraculously, worship leader, how God miraculously healed her. Not anybody clapped. Not anybody said praise. I'm talking, she said, I have medical proof. Dead silence. I thought to myself, God, if that testimony had been given in our house, there'd have been a riot, praise God, in a good way. People would have, wow, they would have, you know, and nobody. So I get up there to preach, and they didn't appreciate the worship, and they didn't appreciate what's going on. And so I get up there, and I said, hey, my friends, listen, I said, it could have been worse. The pastor could have taken off his clothes and danced around naked like David did. The worship isn't that bad. It's not as wild as you think it is. But my friends, why was I in that Methodist church? Because God said to me, son, it's in your book. It's, I wrote it in your pages. I knew you would be here. See, when I went, I didn't know. Church, listen, the stories I could tell you, I didn't know. I just thought I was going to preach in their normal church. I didn't know, but when I arrived there, I said, God, this is in my book. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And the church, listen, you know, I have a Roman Catholic background. It was probably not, you know, they don't have crosses, but they had the candles, the big, they had an organ there that was like, it's in the top 10 of America. When they, you know, that organ, the whole building, I was like, let it rip. I want to see what this thing does, man. Whole building shakes. I got to that church. I stood. This church takes a block. It's massive. I stood in front of those tall wooden doors. And I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. They looked at me. But you see, I was saying, Daddy, only you could get a person like me into a place like this. And my friends, with all the wood, with all the religiosity, the candles, the everything was going on. I want to tell you something. I felt like I was in a time warp because days before that, I was in Oklahoma. I was in like the state of the art, you know, the smoke and the lights and the, and all of a sudden I felt like I was in a time zone, the time machine. I'm like, I went from state of the art to 1901, just like that, in days. But you know what's amazing? I found God in Oklahoma. I found God in the Methodist Church.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like to hear more messages or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email at info@allpeopleschurch.ca.